Well, good afternoon, and on behalf of the Loveland and Fort Collins Area Chambers of Commerce, welcome to our call to action. My name is Mindy McLuhan, and I am the President and CEO of the Loveland Chamber of Commerce. Our area chambers have a long history of working together on behalf of Northern Colorado. In that tradition, we're producing this call to action for the businesses in our region. Our agenda this afternoon will include brief remarks by David May, President and CEO of the Fort Collins Area Chamber of Commerce, an overview of the challenge ahead of us by Katie O'Donnell, Larimer County spokesperson, an overview of the science behind the mitigation plan by Dr. Urbina, and then we will open the lines for you to ask questions. This call will be recorded and a link will be posted to the website of the area chambers. So at this time, let me turn it over to David May with the Fort Collins Area Chamber. David.
Thank you, Mindy, and welcome everybody. We recognize the past 4 months have been a tough time for all of you. When this all unfolded in March, the Loveland and Fort Collins Chambers quickly pivoted to face this challenge for our members, and we focus our work in four broad areas. First, we continued to push customers your way. The stay-at-home orders obviously didn't mean all of you were closed, so we lit up websites like Open for Business and backed that up with a social media campaign to help you connect with customers. Second, in the blizzard of information everybody was receiving, it was really hard to make sense of it all. The area chambers together a series of information calls and webinars and partnered to launch a one-stop information source called NOCORecovers.com. And we are continuing to share information as we moved into the reopening phase. Third, we've advocated for public policy relief by identifying ways for local government to better support area companies. These obviously aren't normal times, and as government places health-related mandates on you, we advocate for things that they can relax, like tax payment deadlines, less stringent enforcement of sign codes, and other regulations. Fourth, we have provided you with information about financial resources to help you stay liquid. Our chambers have acted as major conduits to businesses about various loan programs, to businesses in our region and how to access those programs. Additionally, we teamed up with the Bohemian Foundation and local governments to launch a $5 million small business loan program. And to date, I'm happy to let you know that that fund has loaned over $3 million to over 100 companies in Larimer County. Fifth, as you started to reopen, some of you were having a hard time finding personal protective equipment. So we launched an online marketplace called NOCOSafetySupply.com. And finally, our area chambers are co-leading a conversation on reigniting our economy. We understand what the government shutdown of business has done to our economy, and we need to be very intentional and proactive in our actions to recover and rebuild. We really appreciate all of you very much. It's an honor for the chambers to serve you. We're proud of how resilient you've been during this very tough time, and we've got your back. We're in this with you, and just really appreciate all of you very much. Let me turn the call back over to Mindy to introduce today's topic.
So thank you, David. This is our fourth all-business call, and today's topic is what we need to do to keep NOCO open. We're so fortunate to have businesses of all shapes and sizes in Northern Colorado, and we know that the pandemic has not been easy for any of you, as David mentioned. We know that you cannot afford to be faced with closure and are working behind the scenes to do everything we can to keep business running. We're joined by Larimer County Health Department spokeswoman Katie O'Donnell and Medical Director of Larimer County, Dr. Chris Urbina, to give us a sense of what is happening in Northern Colorado with the spread of the pandemic, mitigation to that spread, and the science behind the mitigation plan. So at this time, Katie, I want to turn it over to you for your comment.
Thank you, Mindy. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, you're good.
Great, thank you. So like she said, I'm Katie O'Donnell. I'm the spokesperson for the Larimer County Department of Health and Environment. I appreciate everybody's time to get today. Just go through kind of what we're facing right now. I'm sure most of you have read or heard about our variants possibly being modified or revoked. This would be a big step back for our businesses and our recovery efforts. We need to be able to get a handle on our cases and stabilize to be able to allow our variants to stay in place. We do have six early warning indicators, but only one needs to be triggered for the state to be able to revoke our variants. We have a threshold of no more than 25 cases per day. We've triggered that 5 times in the last 2 weeks. So we've been put on a kind of warning notice from the state. We do know that many of those cases are tied to 4th of July private gatherings. So it's not necessarily that our business community has had outbreaks, although we do have a few there. It's not that we have seen massive events being held that we've lost control of. It's really the private gatherings that a lot of our contact tracing is going back to. So I bring that up just so you guys know. We know that it's not a business issue per se, but we know that there is carryover. So these cases work in our community. They end up impacting our businesses, and I know many of you have probably been impacted by that. We were notified Friday afternoon that we had to have, that we'd triggered our early warning indicators, our variance was under review, and that we had to submit a mitigation plan by Monday at noon. So we have done that. I have posted our mitigation plan to our website so everyone can go see what we submitted. Broad overview. It includes increased contact tracing, expanded testing, and community partnerships with a coordinated message. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but it also includes an increase on education enforcement. And the state was very adamant that we really have a team out talking to our businesses, out talking to our residents. So we have partnered with our local municipalities to coordinate messaging and the complaints. They have tripled in the last couple weeks, just from a face covering, social distancing, complaints about businesses going back to full capacity when they're not allowed to do so. We haven't had as much of our compliance team out in the community in the last 3 weeks because we hadn't needed to. Now we need to ramp up and send people back out. Obviously, we always do education first. But it is one of those things that we have to have as part of our plan. So you'll be seeing our inspectors back out and a lot of local code compliance back out, touching base with the businesses that we're getting complaints about and making sure that we aren't missing any sort of guidelines or opening ourselves up for outbreaks in our community. If our variants were to be revoked, the biggest areas of impact are our restaurants, breweries, bars, graduations, because we do still have a handful of graduations that still have to go this summer, places of worship, and our public gathering numbers. So right now we're allowed to be up to 50 with approval. If this doesn't mean we won't have any, but we'd roll back to state's current restrictions, which are gatherings of 10 or less.
You can hear me now?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all. How's the sound now?
It's fabulous. Thank you.
All right, great. I'm actually standing on the patio outside. All right, so thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak to you. You, I think, have all read the science and you've been watching national news regarding how COVID-19 has spread. So let me just kind of review the highlights and hope I'll stay on the call to see if you have specific questions. As you know, this is a novel virus we've never faced before. We haven't had a pandemic in 100 years. And so we're learning daily about how this has spread. But we have some good indications now based on what we've seen around the world, as well as here locally in Colorado, and that this is a viral illness that is spread primarily through respiratory droplets, as well as you can get it through other body fluids, primarily diarrhea. Patients present with diarrhea. However, the primary mode of transmission is through respiratory droplets. Hence, that's why the recommendations of having a face covering, particularly cloth, a couple layers, physical distancing of at least 6 feet, washing your hands with either soap and water or alcohol-based gel, all of that is to try to reduce the cleaning surfaces that have been infected. All of that is trying to reduce the virus spread through primarily droplets. It's not a perfect system, but it reduces the risk in terms of passing that infection from one person to another. So you can imagine, as in the mitigation plans that Katie mentioned earlier, all these recommendations are an attempt to reduce the risk So having a less crowded restaurant or less crowded business, of having everybody wearing a face covering, of everybody washing their hands frequently and washing some surfaces, reduces the amount of virus in the environment. So it reduces anybody's contact. Now, essentially, we're all susceptible because this is a new virus. And as we learn more and more about it, as we learn how more effectively to treat it, and hopefully in the future as we have either viral treatments like remdesivir or we have a vaccine, we'll be able to stop the spread of the infection as well as hopefully immunize people about it in the future. But currently, the only recommendations we have, and I appreciate the fact that all of you have jumped in and tried to help us with this, is to have all of us, not only businesses, but churches and communities and soon-to-be schools, all take an active role in trying to participate in reducing the spread of this infection. So I'm going to stop there and hopefully as we go through this, I'll stick around for some questions, or we can talk about the questions now, however you want to handle it.
Just wrap up and say that this is kind of the time for everybody to step up and take this seriously. Face covering, social distancing, public health guidelines. We as a community can step up and lower our case counts, and that's kind of our ask out to our businesses and our residents right now is to take this seriously so we can keep our variants in place.
Okay, thank you, Katie, and I'm sorry. We've had technical difficulties. We do appreciate Dr. For joining in with us today. Since there's no questions in the queue, I'm going to jump back to Lauren Storby, who is the founder and owner of Snack Attack in Fort Collins. Lauren, you with us? Can you hear me okay? Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, perfect. So, yeah, as I was saying, you know, this has definitely been a challenging time for everyone in some sort of aspect. Being a restaurant owner, it has been quite difficult. We did decide through the entire time, starting I think it was mid-March, we did decide to stay open, but we did. We completely pivoted our business to only curbside pickup, takeout, and delivery. Our main challenges over the last 4 months have been, you know, all the obvious is, you know, reduced capacity, reduces revenue just in general, having to lay off about 75% of our employees. With that said, we were able to keep 3 staff members on, but they worked Monday through Saturday. We changed our hours. We reduced hours, and we also closed on Sundays. And, you know, the reality of this is that business has been down about, on average, about 40 to 50% over the last 4 months. And for us, this is actually our busy time of the year. Once summer hits, June, July, August, September, these are our busy months. These are when we get all the families that come in. So that's been a challenge. Also, for those of you who are aware of what we do, we are really big in the community. We do a lot of community events. We do a lot of like fitness events, like run clubs and all that really cool stuff that brings people together. And of course, we've had to cancel all of our events. In turn, also canceling all of our offsite events. So any sort of festival that we are going to be involved in, those have obviously all been canceled for the rest of the year. So it's been a little hard on the community side for us. But just like everyone else, we are just trying to basically just cut along. But because of our huge community involvement in the past, it's really been a success for us as well that, you know, a lot of restaurants were forced to close and we've been getting a lot of new customers, which has been really great. And, you know, just being open, we're an option for people to give us a try. So, The last four months have looked very different for us, but we are just keeping our fingers crossed that this is just temporary, that come next year, things will be looking, you know, on the upside. But as far as our ability to pivot and stay open, luckily our food, we specialize in handcrafted salads, sandwiches, and wraps, so our food travels really well. So our delivery has picked up a lot. Our takeout has really sustained us. And then in turn, because, you know, businesses have closed, CSU is closed essentially, we lost all of our catering business. So we decided to pivot with that. We started a sponsor our healthcare workers campaign that we had the community donate money, funds, to help feed all of our local healthcare workers in the local hospitals. We were making delivery drops to TVH, to MCR, out to Greeley, our local EMS stations. We did a teacher appreciation day. So that really helped us, again, you know, sustain through these tough times of March, April, May. And just having a really great point of sale system that already has an amazing online digital platform. So our online ordering is seamless. So that was really great for us as well. But just looking at community a little bit differently for us, you know, we also got the approval from the governor to be doing to-go beers. So that has helped a lot. And just doing give back. We did a couple days where we started a curbside for the cause campaign where we donated 10% of our sales to local organizations like the New Belgium Bar and Restaurant Relief Fund. And then we also did one for the Food Bank of Larimer County. And then we also were very grateful to receive a large donation to help feed our local veterans because we are veteran owned. So those are some ways we've been able to, you know, redirect revenue to come in. Luckily we didn't have to close, but like I said, yes, business is down, but we do also have a great patio. So, we finally did open the patio. We have 4 tables and they have been essentially full since we have allowed that to happen. And then we did open our dining area. And, if anyone has been into Snack Attack, we have a nice bar area that is obviously all off limits right now. And just the way that the spacing is inside, we have 4 tables available. And it just looks very different from why you go into owning a restaurant. You don't feel the buzz, the excitement of the socializing going on. But we are, again, you know, extremely grateful to have what we have. And just making sure that we educate our customers. We are very active on social media, so we do a lot of videos. We do a lot of posting just to educate our customers of what the standards are right now, what the health guidelines are, and then, of course, just following the rules, right? So you cannot come in without a mask. And if you do, we ask you, you got to put on a mask or, I'm sorry, you have to step outside. And then just the straight sanitation procedures, which we are already very proud to have. We've had really great sanitizing guidelines as far as, you know, wiping things down after people leave. Just washing your hands every 2 seconds, which we basically were already doing. We have our social physical distancing guidelines in place with stickers on the ground. And like I said, with schools being closed, and then just keeping our indoor capacity for where it's supposed to be and making sure people aren't congregating in certain areas. And then, like I said, the bar area is closed because we do pour beer from that side. And just having, basically asking the community to be patient with us, to have some grace with us, because just like all of you, we are human, we are family owned, we have 2 small children at home, and we just want to create a really safe space for people that they can feel comfortable coming in knowing that they're coming into a safe space, but also knowing for the rest of the business community that we are doing our part and trying to mitigate this problem because, you know, like all of us, nobody wants to wear a mask, but it's our duty, it's our civil duty to do right now, it's our social duty, and we're here for it. We're here to do this, to nick it in the butt and to put this to an end and have a great future going forward. So that's basically what we've been doing. We will continue to do it. Same thing, sending out, sharing posts, spreading the word, and just being role models for the community. I think that's a big part of it as well.
Thank you, Lauren. I definitely appreciate that, and I feel your pain as you were even talking about the journey the last few months for your business. As I understand it, there are a few questions that popped into the queue. Anne, do you want to ask those?
Sure. Our first question comes from Pastor Nicole. Pastor Nicole, I'm going to turn you on live right now, and you can ask your question. Go ahead.
Hi. My question was just, I'm wondering if the variance does get revoked, how worship gatherings would be impacted.
This is Katie. I can answer that. So if you look at the comparison between what we've allowed and what state has allowed, and that's kind of the homework I had to do this weekend working on the mitigation plan, we allow you guys to have 50% capacity or up to 175 people in your facility for worship services, indoor or outdoor. State is currently limited to 50 people per room. So we would be rolling back worship services to go back or go to, because we opened broader than the state, just 50 people per room moving forward if we lost that variance.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Anne, I believe there's another question in the queue.
Yes, thank you. So we've got Dan Moyer. Dan, I'm turning you on live right now.
As a small business owner, I am concerned if I should have one or more of my employees be diagnosed, confirmed with COVID. And that would be considered an outbreak, I believe. What does that do as far as the rest of my business? How is an outbreak looked at as far as the county and the state?
Yeah, great question. This is Katie again. So most of them are handled on a case-by-case basis, so there's not a template to say this is exactly how it's going to go. Normally, we figure out the business component in our contact tracing. Our initial contacts are made with individuals. They identify what employer they work for. If you have one case in your facility, you are not considered an outbreak. You don't hit the state outbreak report, but you do have to work with us, because potentially what ends up happening is if you have close contacts in your business, any identified close contacts of a positive case go on a quarantine isolation order, so they're monitored for 10 to 14 days. It's not normally that we close down a business because of that, but what can end up happening is that if your staff are all hanging out after work, which is what we're finding with a lot of our businesses that have cases right now, not doing the distancing, not wearing face coverings, obviously, if they're roommates or household contacts or they hang out outside of the business place, you're going to run out of staffing. So the businesses that we've had closed down here in the community have chosen to do so because of staffing issues in their close contacts, not necessarily because they've been ordered to close by us. If you had two or more cases in a certain time frame, then we would be closing the business down mainly so we can do that contact tracing and then a cleaning that is required by the state. Ideally, we get ahead of it and get our contact tracing done pretty quickly, and then you guys would be allowed to reopen as soon as we've identified any of those close contacts to remain out of the business. So it is done on a case-by-case basis. We have an outbreaks team working out of this COVID response. They make contact with every business that has a positive case identified just to start talking through what you need to do, what you should be keeping an eye on, and any sort of close contact connections. Sometimes you won't have close contact connections if your staff aren't hanging out outside of the office or outside of your business and you guys are doing your distancing diligently. It might be deemed that you don't have any close contacts in your business and you guys stay open as is. So it's a little bit of a complicated question, but that's kind of a summary of how we look at it.
Thank you, Katie. Also, there was a question earlier for Dr. Urbina, but he couldn't hear the question, so you might want to articulate the answer.
I'm back on again. Can you hear me now?
Yes, but the question was about the science behind the mask, and
sure.
Just give a little bit more feedback on the importance of the mask and what people can do.
Sure, great question. Stop me at all if you can't hear me. So basically, they've done several good tests. They've looked in the laboratory as well as tested, and we've always had N95s, which are surgical masks that are very specific to reducing the spread of any infection up to 95% of the microns. So surgical masks are a little bit less than that, and then the cloth masks are even less than that, and the kerchief is probably, or the muff that people use is even less than that. So what happens is they've been able to test and look at both infrared as well as droplet spread, and what they've done is been able to isolate the virus behind the mask and look at it, and then try to look at those droplets through infrared cameras to see how far they spread outside of the realm of those masks. And they've been able to demonstrate that the N95 is probably the best mask to use, but we don't suggest that any businesses use those because they're very uncomfortable, and those should be reserved for the healthcare personnel within the healthcare setting. Surgical masks are less than that, and we again recommend that healthcare workers use that. So we're recommending for the general public that for the most part, the science says that it catches large droplets if worn properly, and as long as people don't adjust them and take them off. And you've seen people on the street, they'll wear the face mask, they'll cloth it on their foreheads or on their ear, on the chin. That essentially does no good because it contaminates not only themselves but other people. So when you put on your mask properly, you should wear it and take it off properly when you're not in an indoor setting where you can't keep or in an outdoor setting when you can't keep six feet of distance. There's good science associated with it, and I don't know if that helps answer that question.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Rubin. I appreciate your feedback. To continue on with the call, I want to ask one of our business leaders who has joined us here today. It's our CEO of Vergent Products, Jay Doctor. They are an essential business here in Loveland, and Jay's here to give you a few of his comments. Jay?
Thanks, Mindy. Vergent Products. We're located in Loveland. We are a contract manufacturer and a design house, a product design house. We do end-to-end services for our clients in medical, aerospace, defense, instrumentation, industrial control, those kind of markets. That's why we are an essential company. We remained 100% operational during our shutdown with people working from home, and we had some people in the plant, in the factory making things. But through all this, we were 100% on time, which we're very happy about. But our challenges over the last 4 months, it was actually 6 months, because we felt the pain early when we couldn't get parts out of China and other parts in Asia. So our orders pushed out, our projects were delayed for our clients, and we really felt the impact starting 6 months ago. Our challenges were, how are we going to keep everyone busy, and do we, in fact, lay off people? So what we did is we pivoted for a while, and we manufactured PPE equipment. We did face shields and respirators, and we pursued partners for manufacturing ventilators during that time as well. So we decided not to lay off people because we felt it would reduce our capabilities when we turned back on. And we also thought, well, the PPP money, which I highly recommend everyone take advantage of, which is brilliant, really helped us through this time. So we maintained all our employees, didn't lay anybody off, but we still had financial hardship. So what we did is we spread the loss or the pain amongst as many people and stakeholders as possible. Starting with the executive team, we significantly cut our pay. Our office people, we cut their pay 10%. Hourly, we did not cut, but from time to time, we sent them home if we didn't have enough work. And we have the best landlord ever. We negotiated a discounted rent rate for a period of time. And we changed banks, did some refinancing. We got our interest rate down and quite a bit of savings there. So through all these measures, the PPP, and we're also pursuing an SBA loan, which additionally, Senator Cory Gardner's office has been extremely helpful in our SBA loan got stuck in the bureaucracy, and they're able to help us free it up. So while we remained operational, we worked from home, and it was kind of hard, but to keep morale up, I wrote a daily email to keep us all on the same page and really help keep us focused and excited and looking for opportunity. And during the time that we were down, we created a new website. We provided virtual tours to our customers because all of our customers want to see our capabilities. We launched a significant social media campaign, which is paying dividends. We added outside salespeople. We reorganized and focused our company to really push sales. And we really did focus on opportunities. We believe that, you know, times like this, there's opportunities. So we found some opportunities, products that sanitize PPE. We are working with a company that is designing equipment that captures the virus in the air so it can be studied. Things like that have really helped us design and manufacture additional things. We also see a trend toward onshoring manufacturing, which we're very excited about. Our forecast looks good. We just forecasted this past week for the balance of the year. We see a lot of new projects kicking loose, I think probably from pent-up demand. We got a couple of really large orders, and we contracted, or we brought in 20 interns for a couple different shifts into our factory that we're kicking out right now. And we have about 9 open positions based on all of our sales efforts that we've done, all the social media, the web campaign, all those things, has paid great dividends. So if you check out our website, this is a selfish plug. We have about 9 positions open, from process engineers to firmware engineers to mechanical engineers, program managers, and the like. So we're seeing some things really warm back up and get busy again. But we do have, and these are some things I would recommend, or things that we do internally in our company. We do have a COVID response team. We follow all the guidelines put out, and this team meets weekly to make sure that if anything's changed, that we respond accordingly. We do require masks, obviously. We have issued packets of masks for our employees and for their families. So we've provided masks completely for the family too. Washing the hands. We have hand sanitizers by every entry point in this building. And we practice social distancing. Luckily, our production area, we can get people 8 to 10 feet apart. They still wear masks, but we're very good at social distancing. One thing I haven't seen show up, which I think should be a requirement, is the installation of a product called NanoSeptic. It's a device, or it's a cover you put on door handles and things that are commonly touched. It's a self-cleaning layer that you put on doors that kills the virus. And I got that as a tip from my neighbor who manages the Amazon warehouse, about 4,200 employees, and they've had little problems. So it's a great product. And also very important is we enforce our policies. People, they wear masks. They clean their hands when they come in. We are very regimented, but you have to enforce it up to the point of, you know, taking disciplinary action with employees if they don't follow it. So we know what to do. We're doing the right thing, and we enforce it. But all of this, we're really trying to be kind, be patient, be supporting with a few people that wanted to work from home additionally that they're required to be in the office, but they chose to work from home, and we allowed that. So we're being very patient. And we're trying to support local as much as we can, our restaurants, our supply chain. We always look for suppliers that are in northern Colorado and up and down the Front Range. So we support local, we promote local, and we love our community and love to be part of it.
Thank you, Jay. I certainly appreciate your time and your willingness to serve today. So I want to thank everyone who has joined our call today. We certainly want to keep NOCO open, and you can help do just that. So please encourage your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers to do the right things. Wear the mask, wash your hands, physical distance, be kind, patient, and support local, as you've heard from many of our speakers today. As mentioned earlier, this call has been recorded and will be available on both chamber websites later today, as well as we have resources you can use to help promote the message of Keep NOCO Open on our site. So let us know if we can do anything to help you, and have a great day.